Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Oh, that's the Monday sound of Gottlieb after yelling at kids for 14 basketball games. Yeah! There we go. Yeah. But I'm not dropping out of this election. And we're going to Kansas. And anyway. You got to know politics to remember that reference. Doug Gottlieb Show live and direct from sunny Southern California. No, not sunny Southern California. Rainy, dreary, May gray Southern California, which is really fascinating to me on what happens as we cover the debacle, which is the NBA regular season. Look, I am allowed to actually have it both ways. I am allowed to love basketball and hate the NBA season and look forward to the playoffs. That's just the way it is. Before we start, let me first offer my condolences to John Ramos, who is not only our head technical producer on the show, but he's also, I believe, the director of the technical producers for all of Fox Sports Radio. John lost his 94-year-old mother this weekend, and he can take as much time off as needs be. John is an absolute saint of a human being, and just offer our condolences to his entire family. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card. At the end of your first year, it's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. So I think it's fascinating what happens when you want to tell a narrative for your side of the narrative. And we do this in politics a lot. People do it now with the vaccine a lot, right? Like I heard somebody go like, you know, I had COVID, so I don't need the vaccine. Like, okay, that doesn't really matter, but okay, gotcha, understood, fine. If you actually talk to a doctor, they'll tell you, or somebody who understands about doctors understand about vaccines, like getting a vaccine is the best way to stop the thing from morphing and changing and becoming something different and far harder for us to take care of. But whatever. Again, all of these things which we try and draw this political line in the sand and make people choose right or left, right? I have always been pro-vaccine, and once you get the vaccine, anti-mask. I think that's reasonable. What's the point of getting the vaccine if then you have to wear your mask afterwards, right? Fair. But I think the NBA season is, it's kind of comical, right? Like, we've seen tanking take place at the bottom end, and we've saw tanking take place at the bottom end of the standings for years. Like, this is not a new thing. The Boston Celtics have tanked several times over, including going back to when Rick Pitino first took over. They had two lottery picks. They tanked to get David Robinson. Neither of them landed David Robinson. They got Chauncey Billups, who they traded in his rookie year, and Walter McCarty. Those were their two picks in the first round, instead of what David Robinson, who went number one overall to the Spurs. The rest, as they say, is history. But I want you to think about this for a second. Really think hard. Like, I've heard people being critical of the Clippers for losing their last two games of the year, which puts them in the four seed. The four seed aligns them with the Utah Jazz instead of potentially with the LA Lakers or Phoenix Suns. And I've heard people who are educated people and smart people like, what a disaster the Clippers are for what they've done and how they look at the end of the year. Like, okay, you don't like the Nets, who, what, their best players played, what, eight games together? okay, or the Lakers, who were awful, fought for their playoff lives and wanted to, if they had to play in the play a game, which they do, now they look good, but now they got to beat the Warriors. Then they frankly, luckily, match up with the Suns, who they match up better with than the Jazz. They want that 7 seed. But we can be critical of the Clippers because, well, they didn't win last year. They haven't ever historically won before. So we must assume that these last couple games of the year, which they clearly didn't want to win, is a bad thing. They clinch the 4 seed, will face the 5 seed, the Mavericks. No, Luka Doncic can win a game for you. Maybe 2, maybe 3, can't win a series for you because they don't play any defense. The Clippers lost back-to-back games at the end of the season to the Rockets and to the Thunder. And by the way, the Thunder have won only one total game in the months of April and May. And will now avoid the Lakers. Excuse me, the Clippers have now. The Rockets and Thunder have only won one game total in the months of April and May and will now avoid the Lakers until the Western Conference Finals, unless, of course, one of them lose before the Western Conference Finals. This is Jared Dudley, who's the world's oldest victory cigar, saying this about the Clippers.
I do think it was funny. You see a lot of teams, as you would say, managing their these last couple games of trying to avoid us and stuff like that. It's funny to see that. But for us, it's going to be a challenge of whatever team you play. Cause between Jokic, the Clippers, Paul, you have obviously Chris Paul. But, man, we're up for it, man. We're the defending champs. They got to worry about us. And we're getting healthy at the right time, and no one wants to see a healthy Laker team.
Now, I would agree that a healthy Laker team and a cohesive Laker team is a dynamic team and one that was picked to win the NBA title, picked to come out of the West. What he said there wasn't wrong. But if that's a subtle shot, which it felt like at the Clippers, at avoiding them, like, all right, the Lakers, seeing as they didn't control their own destiny and weren't the one seed this year as they were last year, they too wanted to pick and choose who they were going to play. Like, let's just be candid about the whole thing. Jared Dudley, okay, who I love, right? Grew up in San Diego. Teams passed on him in the West Coast. He went to Boston College, had a very good career with Cookie Monster Craig Smith, has made himself into a longtime NBA player. But he can't play anymore, so it doesn't really matter. Like, all he can do is talk now. And talking trash when you're the guy who's waving the towel, you may think he's speaking in the best interest of the Lakers. I can tell you, I know the people within the Lakers. And a couple weeks ago, they were in a bad way. Schroeder's out with COVID. LeBron's out with the ankle. Anthony Davis wasn't in shape when he came back. And they don't know what they look like in the playoffs or together. And yeah, they kicked the crap out of a couple teams here late in the season. But those were bad teams that were also trying to lose. So, if you want to use history as your guide, don't, because the teams are compiled much different way. If you want to say the Clippers didn't win last year, that's fair. The bubble did, in fact, get them. But the Lakers didn't win the first year of LeBron James. It's always amazing to me, the people who are LeBron fans are so arrogant that they forget that the first year of LeBron in LA was an abject disaster. No, it wasn't a disaster, Doug. Yes, it was. LeBron came to a Laker game drunk with a glass of wine. Everybody was ticked. The coach got fired, Magic Johnson quit, and half the team quit on LeBron because he wanted them traded. They were traded for Anthony Davis. The second year was outstanding. Outstanding. And though there was some malaise in the bubble and they nearly succumbed to the seclusion of the bubble, their families arrived and they got a break because of the protest and missed 2 game days and end up recharging their batteries. That's what actually happened. This year, they weren't healthy. They changed rosters. And they nearly played themselves into a really, really difficult situation. Best case scenario, they get the Warriors and Steph Curry, who in 1-game scenario or a 2-game scenario can in fact beat you. I'm not sure I'd be the one talking trash right now. I just would. Do I think the Lakers win? Yes. Do I think the Lakers beat the Suns? Yes. Do I think the Lakers will match up with the Clippers? Yes. But I can also say, just like I despised this NBA season. It was too soon after the bubble, and you had this mix of teams like the Lakers, who just got done playing, so they didn't really have a training camp, and they didn't really care. And then you had a group of teams that hadn't played in forever, because they were off since the COVID shutdown. No one watched the games. Nobody cared about the games. Media companies that have the NBA on made it out like we have to talk about this NBA MVP thing because we don't care. I can't pretend to care about a regular season and a team dumping games the last two games to smartly adjust to teams they match up better against, because the no one cares what your record is at the end of the season if you don't win the championship. And it's not just basketball. The New England Patriots went 16-0, went to the Super Bowl, or 18-0, and lost in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants in a great football game. And you know what no one says about that team? No one says, that was one of the great teams of all time. So while I can say I hated this NBA season, I still love the NBA and look forward to the playoffs, I can also say that the Clippers could very well win an NBA championship or get to an NBA finals, even though they dumped the last two games to avoid the Lakers, because that's smart. If you haven't been past the second round of the NBA playoffs in your franchise's history, why would you create the more difficult and most difficult road instead of trying to find the team that you match up better against? And the Jazz apparently are that team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement writing tickets. So why take the risk? Do the smart thing. Start buckling up on every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket, paid for by NHTSA. I went pretty strong after Jason Smith, because do you guys remember Jason Smith's rant? Gavin, do you remember Jason Smith's rant about Steph Curry?
Oh, yeah. He called him a system quarterback.
He did?
Yeah, that was one of
his. Is that where
Dan
Patrick got that from? Because I heard Dan Patrick going, like, he's been called a system guy. I've never heard anybody say that. But I never heard anybody say that.
That is the Jason Smith original.
Wow, that's one of the worst. He's had some bad ones. And I like Jason. And again, I can do both because both are true. I like Jason. I enjoy working with Jason. It's one of the worst takes I've ever heard. It's awful. It's awful. But, I mean, like, look, if you really believe it, say it with your chest. You know? What system is it that he's... I don't get it. What do you mean? Like, okay, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan only won NBA titles in the triangle offense. That's a system. But you have to understand basketball to know what you're talking about. That's one of the biggest issues. And look, it's an issue in football. It's an issue in baseball. It's one of the things that when I discuss things with people, like especially in sports that I didn't play at a collegiate or professional level, I talk to people in the sport. It's like there'll be people today who you said George Kittle's not a great blocker. Like, no, that's actually not what I said. George Kittle is not a blocker by trade. He's a great pass catcher. Now, within their system, he'll block. Right? Within their system, he'll block. He does a good job of getting on guys, getting off guys, and moving. You got to be able to move and engage in blocks. But as was told to me by an NFL GM, like the 10 best blockers at the tight end position in football, you've never heard of. Do you know why? Because they don't catch touchdowns. They don't catch the football more than, you know, 20 times a year at most. Those are the best blocking tight ends. Now, Rob Gronkowski is the best pass catcher who was a very good blocker. The GOAT in terms of the ability as a tight end who can catch the football but also could match up and do reasonably well against one of these super talented defensive ends. Kittle's not the worst. Like, Kelsey is a non-blocker. He's basically a wide receiver, right? Doesn't block much at all. That's not what he does. But you'll have people that they don't truly understand, and maybe I didn't explain in a Cowherd interview about what I meant with Kittle. Let me just explain. If you think that Steph Curry is system player? Like, I don't really. Yeah, he's your best player. He's a two-time MVP. You're going to devise an offense which brings out the best in him. Otherwise, do you know what you are? You're a terrible basketball coach. That honestly, you can go and Andrew Bogut was on my, was it Andrew Bogut was on my podcast? Andrew Bogut was on my podcast. I'm trying to think, it was Bogey who said this? I think it was Bogey who said this. He was like, look, if Mark Jackson remained as the coach of the Warriors, Steph Curry wouldn't be Steph Curry today. Because Mark Jackson was ISOs and ball screens. And what Steph Curry was able to do with Steve Kerr is they had all of these other great passers. And, you know, Andrew Bogut's like a point center. He could really pass the basketball. And a great screener. Draymond Green, great passer. Klay Thompson, not a dribbler, but a good passer. And also great at moving out the basketball. Andre Iguodala in that version of his basketball life was like a point forward. He's like a Ron Harper type. Andre Iguodala is basically Ron Harper. Andre Iguodala was a 20-point-a-night guy when he was with the 76ers, and then later in his career reinvented himself as a great defender and a guy who, not a great shooter, but would make big shots, and they played him sometimes at five. It's just like Ron Harper. Ron Harper was a great scorer, hurt his knee, and reinvented himself with Phil Jackson as a guy like Iguodala that could guard every position and just knew how to play. Sean Livingston, point guard in high school, a guy who was a mid-range scorer but could really pass. So it allowed Steph Curry to play with the ball or pass and then play without the ball. Be both a point and a two guard. It's brilliant. But if you're going to say, like, well, he's a system, like, who would be the idiot who would be like, oh, hey, you know what we should do? We should play Shaq out at the high post, right? Have him set ball screens and pops, right? That's what we should do. So it's very frustrating sometimes for people to say things that make no sense. What I was getting at with Jason was he said that it's not his, all these points don't really help them win. Okay. Steph Curry, when he's on the court, they were 10th in the league in offense. When he's off the court, they were the worst offensive team in the last 5 years. He averaged 35-5. That's happened just 32 times. Curry's done it twice, and they're the two most efficient in terms of effective field goal percentage by far. All you need to know is this. They were the worst team in the league last year. They did change some personnel, but by adding Steph Curry, still don't have Klay Thompson, they're in not only the play-in game, but would be in the playoffs if the traditional playoffs started today. So you go from the worst team to a 500 team in the best conference in basketball. So if you don't think he's the most valuable, I mean, it's hard to compare. Jokic has been amazing. And the Nuggets, for the most part, were still just about as competitive once they lost Jamal Murray, and they play through Jokic as their point center. I mean, Joel Embiid's been amazing. Giannis has been amazing. This is LeBron James talking about Steph Curry.
Just look what he's done this year. I mean, I don't know anything else. If you're looking for MVP, if Steph is not on Golden State's team, then, you know, what are we looking at? You know, and we get caught up in a record sometimes. We get caught up in, okay, who has the best record? And, you know, instead of just saying who had the best season that year, and Steph has had, in my opinion, the best season all year.
Okay. And that's LeBron's opinion. What does he know? And I don't think it's kissing up to Steph because they're going to play Steph. And remember, when Steph last won the MVP and he won the unanimous MVP, LeBron said, I mean, look at the numbers, they're obscene, and look at all the games they've won. They won 73 games, but if you want to talk about all-around value, and I actually, if you go back, I agree with him. LeBron, at the time, brought incredible all-around value to his team, both ends of the floor. So saying nice things about another player is not new to the biz, and of course, you're getting ready to play them in the play-in tournament. That's obviously something you're not going to give anybody bulletin board material. That said, it did feel like from a pretty honest place, and it didn't have any caveats with it. But what does he know?
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's welcome in Michael Lee. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee from the Washington Post. He covers the NBA and does an amazing job. Michael, let's start with the NBA season. I know they had to get the games in for the TV rights, but you had so many players missing so many games and so much tanking at times. I love the sport. I think the sport is as talented and skilled as it's ever been, but it was a hard season for me to watch. How about you?
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I love the NBA. I love basketball. And it was hard to get into the season because there were so many games that were played and you had to look and see who was actually available. You know, either somebody had missed because of COVID protocols or somebody missed because of injury or some guys missed because of rest and because they played their fourth game in 5 nights and they didn't want to, you know, grind them to the ground. So you never really got to get the sense that you saw the real teams compete and go head to head. You never saw two healthy squads going at each other. So you look at these records, you look and see who's seeded where. But you feel like you've played 72 games and you still don't know what you're going to get in the playoffs because you don't know what the real teams are. You don't know what their identity is. The Nets are the favorite to win a title, but their best players, I think, didn't even play 10 games together. So how can we even measure them as being a title favorite when they haven't had any sort of tests throughout the course of a regular season? They're going to be tested in the playoffs. So the way I look at it is that I hope the playoffs turn out to be entertaining because the regular season was a grind. It was hard to get excited because every time you had a marquee game, at least one or two stars was sitting out. So you really didn't get a chance. I don't think we got a full season. We just got what we could just get. We got what we could get.
Yeah, we got what we could get. Do you think the Clippers wanted to avoid the Lakers?
Yes. when you lose back-to-back games to the Rockets and the Thunder, like two teams that are definitely leading the tank way, leading the troops, you know, in the tank. If you lose back to back to those two teams, you are not trying to win games and you are positioning yourself to be fourth. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be really trying to lose if you're going to lose to the Thunder nowadays because they definitely were on free fall on the second half of the season or after the All-Star break. So they weren't trying to win any games. And so, yeah, they don't want any part of the Lakers. But the thing is, it might backfire because, I mean, you're assuming they're going to beat the Warriors in the play-in game and get the 7th seed. But what if they don't and they're the 8th seed and they're right on your side of the bracket? So I thought it was kind of a bad play, you know, because if they're gonna get out of the West, they're going to have to get the Lakers anyway. And if I want the Lakers, I'd rather get them early than late, you know, because LeBron's only going to get stronger as the postseason goes on. You know, right now he's probably going to be a little rusty and try to regain his rhythm. I'd rather get him as early as possible and then later.
I'm going to disagree with you on a couple of different levels. I would disagree because I think that the Lakers' fear in the play-in game is not that the Warriors can beat them twice. That's not their fear. Their fear in the play-in game is it's the attrition. They don't want LeBron and AD to be playing all these extra games because they're a little bit beaten up. They're an older team. And I understand that, you know, they haven't played together a ton and this will make them better. But I also would tell you that I think it's a smart play. You know, plus they've never been past the second round of the playoffs. So if they get to the conference finals and they see the Lakers, like, fine, you know, it's all going to be a new experience to them. But I think that the fear with the Lakers is that too many games for LeBron, too many games for AD.
Well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, too, with the Lakers. I just think from the Clippers' perspective, yep. If you're a team that feels like you are a championship team and you feel like you can get there, you don't need to be worrying about playoff positioning. You need to just go out there and beat whoever's in front of you whenever you get them. And I would rather get them in the earlier rounds. But when you do this, it looks like you're dodging somebody. It looks like you're ducking somebody. To me, I don't think that sends a message to the players on your roster that you have confidence in them. And I don't know if you send a message to your fans that you're really about it. Like, I think that, you know, if you are really that team and you are really the team that we need to be talking about, then you should say, you know, we'll take out anybody who comes our way. I'd rather have that attitude and that approach. And if it backfires, then so be it. But I don't want to sit around and say, well, if we get on this side of the bracket and we get the Jazz in the second round, you know, to me, I just don't like that attitude. I don't like going to the postseason feeling like, well, this is our best path to the title. There is no best path. The path is through everybody in front of you.
I'll just tell you, I think if the Lakers were in position to pick their matchup, I think they want to play the Suns. They don't want to play the Jazz. That's a bad matchup for them. Is the Suns are a good matchup for them. I think everybody would do that.
Yeah, except for the Clippers, who now want the Jazz in the second round.
No, but they it's a better matchup for them. It's not as good a matchup for.
I understand.
Let's get to this. I mean, Steph's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your MVP vote?
Jokic? Yeah, I'm still going with Nikola Jokic. I just feel like by every metric, by every standard that we usually set for an MVP, he's met them. I mean, I think Steph's had an incredible year. I think he's sensational, you know, especially to do this at 33 years old. I mean, he's just had some amazing performances. He's had the wow moments all year. But I don't want to discredit what Jokic has done in carrying the Nuggets. They did lose their second best player in the middle of this run, and they still were able to maintain to be the third seed in a really tough conference. You know, he was on the floor. You know, I had someone tell me recently that, you know, this year the MVP is going to come down to the second letter, you know, in the word of, you know, in availability. You know, if you're available, that's really what's going to win you MVP. And he's been there more than anybody else. He's been reliable. And I think, like I said, I'm not taking anything away from Steph, but I think Jokic has been the guy. And I think that it'd be good to have a center finally get the MVP award, because the game is built around guards, and guards have dominated for so long. But it's good to see that a center can get up there and carry his team and elevate it. And I think that should be rewarded, because that's what this season was really about.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Mr. Michael Lee is his Twitter handle. He writes for the Washington Post. He covers the NBA and does an amazing job. He's kind enough to spend some time with us. All right, let's get to those Nets, right? I mean, they're a highlight film waiting to happen, but no one really has any idea like what that thing. I mean, you played less than 10 games together. We have no idea. Best guess on what the playoffs look like for them.
Well. You know, I think they got the toughest path because, you know, right now, I mean, I don't know who they're getting to play in. I think they'll demolish whoever they get in that first round. But I think after that, either get the Bucks or the Heat. That's going to be a really tough matchup in the second round. Like, that's going to be a challenge, especially if it's Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's a team that's, you know, better suited to make a deeper run than they have been in the previous years. I think that the addition of Drew Holiday and adding that perimeter defender who can, you know, clamp down on a guard, on the guards, I think he's an addition that can really help elevate them, especially come playoff time. So I think getting him in the second round would be a huge test, especially for a ball club that hasn't really been playing together and don't really know how you're going to handle postseason situations. I mean, obviously, Harden and Durant have played together in the playoffs, but neither one of them has played with Kyrie in those situations. They don't know who's going to be the guy, you know, in the last second shot, who they can really depend on to take that shot. You say it's KD because he's the guy at the finals MVPs, but you know Kyrie wants that shot. You know James is taking that shot. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come together because, you know, usually by the time you get in the playoffs, you want to feel confident about who you can trust and who you can depend on. But when they get to the playoffs, they're going to be looking at each other like, man, we are really figuring it out right here on the fly. It's a tough place to learn on the fly, but, you know, they have the talent, and I think that eventually they will prevail, but they're going to be tested along the way, and it probably won't be, you know, them steamrolling through anybody. It's just going to be, you know, up and down. But, you know, it's kind of their first run together, and that happens with a lot of championship teams.
Michael Lee joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Feels like there's a lot of pressure on Mike Budenholzer. Is that media pressure? Is that real pressure?
It's real pressure because the last 2 years they had the best record and they were the favorite to come out of the East and they didn't do it. You know, obviously they got to the conference finals 2 years ago and Kawhi Leonard went berserk. And then last year they just ran into a buzzsaw with the Miami Heat, you know, who just had their number all season long. And Bam, just a great defensive player, and Jimmy Butler just kind of went at it. And this year it's like, okay, we know you're a good regular season coach, and we've seen you do this before. We've seen you do it in Atlanta, you know, where you had the best record and you got swept out by LeBron. We've seen you do this before. But now, like, Giannis is playing great ball. I mean, you know, he's a two-time MVP, and he quietly had an MVP caliber season himself. Like, no one really talked a lot about him because everyone just says, well, he got two MVPs and didn't win it. He's still playing at that same level, if not better, right now. And so when you have that kind of talent on your side, at some point you got to take that next step. You got to take that leap. And so if the coach can't get it done, then you got to hire somebody who can. And I think that's why there's a lot of pressure on him to try to get it done, because they've invested hundreds of million dollars into Drew, Chris Middleton, and Giannis now. And so if you're not getting it done with that trio of all-star, you know, caliber players, you know, high salary guys, somebody's got to take the fall if you can't get over the hump. And I think that's why there's pressure on Bud.
If you had to bet your salary, who's in the finals?
Bet my salary? I'd say Nets Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's hard to bet against the Lakers because they appear to have a better roster. They have LeBron. They have AD. They were there last year. And the Nets have the most talent, and they have guys that have been – they have two guys that have been there and done that before. I'm with you.
And I think LeBron's already setting the table for it to be the most miraculous comeback for a team to go from seventh seed to the NBA Finals and – you know, knocking off Steph, the guy he says is the MVP in the play-in game, and then you go out, you take out the Phoenix Suns, the number two seed, and then if you get the Clippers in the conference finals, it's just like, it's just so many elements that just make it, a true Hollywood LA story to build up for the release of Space Jam 2. So I think this is all leading up to LeBron. We can't get enough LeBron. He can't go out early.
Michael, great stuff, man. Can't wait to talk with you as the playoffs get underway. Really appreciate you being our guest here on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Michael Lee, Washington Post. Follow him on Twitter, at Mr. Michael Lee.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day this time, we play a game. We'll do so with Deb Carson.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hustler Turf has the most complete lineup in residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. With over 1,000 dealers across the nation, there's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. Deb Carson, what do you got?
Sam?
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Love this game. All righty, Doug. Big deal, little deal, no deal that Tom Brady had a pretty serious knee surgery this offseason.
I think it's a little deal. I mean, you know, it's obviously going to hurt his mobility. Yeah, he's not. But, well, look, if anything... And I know all these guys are fanatics about their reps and their off-season program and making sure that everything is just right. But if we're honest with ourselves, like Tom Brady at his age should take more time off than he used to. and had kind of a slow kind of crank up into getting back after it. The only part it becomes a big deal is, remember, he is older. You react to surgery, you know, in different fashion the older you get. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we have a 17-game schedule. 17. No one has any idea how any of these guys' bodies are going to react to that extra game.
Right. And he actually has a training camp this offseason, whereas they didn't last year.
Yes.
All right. Big deal, little deal, no deal that the Dodgers signed free agent future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols after the Angels let him go.
It feels like a bizarre deal. Now keep in mind, is it Edwin Rios who's out for the year for the Dodgers? He's one of their first basemen. And of course, Cody Bellinger is our other one. He's still rehabbing, although getting closer to coming back. So believe it or not, they need Pujols to play first base. Problem is he can't run. And he hasn't shown the ability to hit. So, I mean, everyone I know in baseball is like, well, he's got to sign with the American League team. He signs with the National League team. I don't really get it, unless it's just a short-term deal. And then what do you do with him when Bellinger comes back? Like, he just sits there and he's a pinch hitter? I thought he wanted to play more, not less.
Right. And he may get to in the short term, and it is just for the rest of this season. But you never know. Sometimes a change of scenery is a little motivation for somebody, too. Not that that necessarily makes you hit better, but he is Albert Pujols, so we'll see.
Look, I get, but he hasn't been able to hit for a couple years. Like, it's not like, well, he's off to a bad start. No, he's just old. Just happens. He was a great player. All-time great hitter. Right, but he's just old. There's just no way around it. And I can't believe that after when Bellinger comes back, you would ever, I mean, imagine Cody Bellinger. You're like, hey, man, you're going to sit today. We're going to play. What? Yeah. No, we're going to use Pujols. Like, what? Is he going in a time machine? Anyway. It doesn't make sense to me.
All right. Big deal, little deal. Well, speaking of time machine, that was a good segue. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The Knicks made the playoffs for the first time since the 2012-13 season.
I think it's a big deal. I think it's a really big deal. You know, I mean, is it easier to make in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference? Sure. But they finished strong. They played hard. Now, the big thing is the next step, right? Like, is this their core they have going forward? Do they try and add a couple pieces? Do they destroy the culture that they've built? I think for Tom Thibodeau in his first year, it's a very, very big deal.
Yes, and a special note, as of today, the cheapest resale ticket for Game 1 at MSG, $968 plus fees on SeatGeek. That's three times higher than the price for Game 1 of the Nets' first-round series.
You know, MSG is magical. I mean, it really is. Now, the Nets place is amazing, right? You could take the train right there, just like you can to the Knicks game. And the arena is really cool, and the surrounding area is amazing. But there's something about a Knicks game.
At the Forum. At MSG,
I should say. Yes, at MSG, yeah. Yes.
Big deal, little deal, no deal. Bears head coach Matt Nagy stated again Sunday that Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback heading into OTAs.
I think it's a no deal. I mean, Justin Fields is not good. They're not going to play him right away. Remember, Matt Nagy came from Kansas City, where they had success sitting Pat Mahomes behind Alex Smith for a year. And just so you're aware, like, whether they were real or questions about Justin Fields' work ethic, I think some of that comes from Georgia when he left. Freshman quarterback, number one player in the country. Anybody's going to think better of themselves than they are. Whatever. There's similar questions about Pat Mahomes when he came out. It worked for Nagy there. It worked for the Chiefs there. I think that's the plan with the Bears here.
All righty. And finally, big deal, little deal, no deal. Wontarius Bryant, you know, the Austin Peay alum who was duped into thinking he had a tryout with the Falcons, went to the training facility and was turned away Wednesday. Big deal, little deal, no deal. He was invited to the football camp founded by agent Don Yee.
Look, it's an opportunity to show yourself. It's great. Opportunity in front of an agent to show yourself. I think it's a little deal. I think, you know, but any invite, you know, any invite is a good invite when you don't have an invite. So go do it, ball out, and take a shot.
And by the way, that is one of the worst jokes ever played on somebody, or pranks. That's awful. Thinking the guy's going to be invited to the Falcons to try out for the team. And then, oh, sorry, it was a joke. We don't know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was a kid, my brother would invite me to play pickup ball with them at the park, and then they would no-show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.